The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I don't know how people do it. They tell you, oh, I got up 5 o'clock in the morning and I worked out. How do you do that? But I figured, okay, if it's working for them, probably going to work for me. This morning, and this is why I'm tired. I'm truly, truly tired. I probably shouldn't have gone all out like I did. I got up and I ran at a pretty good pace, 6 times around the block. Then, when I was done, I picked up the block and I put it back in my granddaughter's toy box. Oh, and I'll tell you, I'm still not recovered. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program The Doctor Is In. I'm fired up for another rant. That's all right. I brace myself because when I do something like this, I'm going to get the emails. Nevertheless, let me give you the specifics of the program first. The number to get on the air, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Or as my mentor and highly admired boss, Al Cresta, says, that's 877-573-7825. Got to put the that's in front of it. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. Seeing a lot more people these days ever since my speaking career has been imploded, shot down, exploded, crushed, decimated. I don't know. Use all kinds of words you want like that. But, hey, wait a minute. New York Times just came out with an article today. Pandemic is going to be over a lot quicker than we thought. Really now. That's all right. That's going to be part of my rant. So let me give you the number, and then I want to spend a fair amount of time rankling folks. 877-573-7825. If you have questions about life, stuff, people, circumstances, faith, you name it. Name it. I don't even have to name it. Just ask it or comment on it. This is not a political show. And by and large, we don't deal with heavy, high-profile cultural issues. Unless they dramatically impinge upon people's mental health, people's spiritual health, people's well-being, people's peace. I have never in my life even seen anything remotely close to altering the mental state of a whole culture like the response to the COVID, I'm going to call it a pandemic, but it no longer meets the definition of a pandemic. So, therefore, I think I can comment on it because, as a psychologist, and the research is coming out all over the place, but the media won't report it. It just trickles out. That the level of unintended effects, social emotional pathologies, physical repercussions are all off the charts in the sense of what we have done to our culture and people's mindset. I know bunches of people who are still locked in their house. They won't come out. Dr. Ray, as I've said in my emails to you, you are trivializing this. No, I'm not. I'm trying to put reality to it. First of all, I made some predictions many months ago that I got great grief for that have, well, pretty much come true. One, I said that if somebody would have said to you back in Christmas of last year, you know, another 3-4 months, you're not going to be able to go to church. What? No, that is not going to happen. They are not going to take my church from me. Yes, they did. And we all just rolled over.
Dr. Ray, it was serious.
Yes, it was. In the beginning, we didn't know what we were dealing with. And so I understand the reaction. I'm not saying that that was unjustified. But it's been 8 months now. We know much better what we're dealing with. And even more important, we know the declining statistics.
No, that's not true, Dr. Ray. Have you not read the studies? The cases are going up.
Cases are basically irrelevant. What is relevant is the mortality rates and the hospitalization rates. That's what's relevant. Now, I said that what was going to happen is that people weren't going to go back to church. That if the churches ever recovered, and I'm talking Catholic churches, there are evangelical independent churches in my community, and I know it's true with yours, they're not open yet. They are not open. People get out of the habit.
Well, Dr. Ray, if their Christianity was just a habit, then maybe it's better they're not there. No, because you can always be exposed to something that can help you, and especially Catholics.
We know what our worship is for. It's not something we can watch on TV. We receive the sacraments. We've pulled back. Okay, so that aside, there was a survey done. I forget who did it. I don't know if it was the CDC or a university. One of every four millennials have now said they have, at one point in the last several months, seriously contemplated suicide. What? Okay, let's continue. I said that when you have a fear, a phobia, you measure it by a couple of things. One, the actual risk to yourself. You know, somebody, when Jaws came out, all of a sudden people stayed away from beaches. Why? Shark attacks. Shark attacks are so rare. So unbelievably rare. But that's good enough to make people panic and stay away. So this just came. Well, this is, I don't know when it came out, but it is from the CDC website. Everything I'm citing has been from the CDC. The infection fatality ratio. Now, I think the CDC screwed up. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope they got this right. But it doesn't seem to make sense. 0 to 19 years of age, if you catch COVID, the chances of you dying are 0.0003%. Now that means, let's see, let's put that in terms of one out of, that would be 100. Be 1,000, that would be 10,000, that would be 3 in 100,000. 3 in 100,000 for sure don't get in a car. 20 to 49 fatality ratio, 0.0002%. So 20 to 49, if you catch COVID, you have 1 in 1,000, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 2 in 10,000 chance. 2 in 10,000. 50 to 69 now. Now you're starting to get up there, you know. Now you're taking in Teresa Tomio. Not quite. 0.005. So that's 99.5% chance of surviving it. The high-risk population, over 70, with 2 to 3 comorbid conditions, 0.054%. Now, this is why I'm not sure about how they're dealing with the percentages. Everything I've seen from the CDC says that anybody over 70 who catches COVID, roughly up to this point now, we know it more, we know how to intervene better, but up to this point, about a 1 in a 20 chance of dying, about 5% chance. Well, according to this, it says it's 0.054%, which would not be a 5% chance. It would be 0.05%. So that's what makes me question a little bit how they're using percentages. But nevertheless, this is from the CDC website. Now, the WHO yesterday, the day before, came out and said this. Lockdowns are not good. Lockdowns carry more negatives than they carry positives. don't lock down. No. More negatives? There were people saying this months ago. The unintended effects. Now, Dr. Ray, why are you ranting on this? I'll tell you why I'm ranting on this. I don't like what it's done to people. My heavens, I'm a shrink. I'm watching it. I'm getting it in my office. I'm getting people who can't see their grandkids because their 34-year-old daughter-in-law says, I don't want you near my grandkids if you went out and got groceries. What? Now, I got another prediction I'm going to make. Within the next few months, I think, maybe off on my timetable, within my next few months, more and more people are going to say, what are we doing to our kids? Why are we making our kids wear masks? Where is the scientific evidence that the masks are necessary for kids and to keep them from spreading it to an adult, because we're having a heck of a time getting science that says that? And teachers are going to say, you know what? This is bad. My kids are touching their face all over the place. We can't let, they're not allowed outside to play. They're not allowed to play tag, not allowed to play kickball. Local schools, they don't let them play kickball. Kids. And the teachers are going to say, you know, some of the kids are getting fuzzy too. Oxygen, stuff like that. This is starting to happen. Oh, it'll take a few months, I think, before it's just like we decided that lockdowns were no good. You know, back when we did the lockdowns, everybody said, we got to do this. We've got to save people's lives. And anybody who doesn't want to do this is cold-hearted and cruel. Yeah. Well, what about all of the unintended ill effects? With people looking ahead and said, we better balance this. We can protect those who are vulnerable. That's what we need to do. We need to quarantine those who are vulnerable. Those who are not need to live life. Because if we don't, if we do all these things that are radical to stop life, they have effects. It isn't just a zero-sum game where, okay, well, we'll all shut down and everybody will be okay and then we'll all just start up. No. All kinds of unintended ill effects on the mental health, but more than anything else, the spiritual health. I'm so distressed by the percentage of people who still won't go back to church. And we talk about, I love Jesus Christ. Really? You don't love him enough to go somewhere without protection that you'd have a 1 in 10,000 chance of dying, but with protection and sitting two pews apart, you got virtually no chance of catching it and fatally responding to it. Jesus, I love you, but man, I don't know. What are you asking of me here? Now, is this a rant? Yes, it is, because I am truly distressed at what has happened to the social connections, to our churches, to our kids. I don't want to deal with any more kids and say, am I going to die? Is mommy going to die? And then the WHO comes out and says, oops. Yeah, you know, lockdowns are no good. Sorry. Yeah, after you destroyed so many people's livelihoods, so many people's lifetime of accomplishments. Well, that's it for right now. Now, before you write me with emails, which, by the way, I get more negative emails on this topic than any other topic, which kind of tells me that I'm on the right track. I had somebody say to me, where are you getting your statistics? Well, not just the CDC, that's all. Or one said, that's your research. Everybody can point to their own research. And then I didn't write back because I don't, but I said to myself, you just proved my point. If the supposed research is all over the map, then how does that require draconian measures for maybes? If people want to wear masks, wash their hands, stay away, that is your business. You are perfectly allowed to do that. That is within your rights. Where I have my problem is where, on the basis of very questionable stuff, and now the WHO comes out and says, oops! And those statistics on mortality rates, and by the way, those are pretty low mortality rates. There's a lot more things that have higher mortality rates than that. But anyway,
My point is, this sounds funny coming from me. We need to relax on some of this stuff. Hopefully time. Reality always wins, and reality is slowly beginning to win. And by the way, New York Times just came out with an article. You see this? And I don't know why. New York Times seemed to have such an agenda. But they came out with an article that said the pandemic is going to end a lot sooner than we thought. Huh? We've been getting pounded by numbers? And by the way, I just want to share with you one more number. Just another number here. Let me find it. Mm-hmm. It's not there. It's not there. It's right there. There. This. Okay. In Ohio, every day we get the tally of the COVID deaths in Ohio. And we had seven yesterday, seven deaths out of 11.5 million people. So the COVID deaths in Ohio is slightly north of 5,000, slightly north. From the beginning, from the very beginning, across the board, the spectrum, not 70 and over, not 80 and over, where the bulk of all of the fatalities are, sadly, but the whole range of ages, your chance of dying of COVID in Ohio from the beginning, 5,000 deaths to 11.5 million people, 0.0004. That is, let's see, 1 in 10, 1 in 100, 1 in 4 in 10,000. 4 in 10,000. That's across the board now. Now, if you're under 50 or 60, it's way less than that. I ask you a question. Is it necessary to do what we're doing? I know there are going to be those of you who disagree with me, and that's fine. You can disagree with me. That's just the question. All right, I went way long. Dr. Ray.
I just want to tell you, I used to work for a bunch of psychologists, and I think you're one of my top five favorites.
All the advice, none of the bills. Come in. The doctor is in.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Why is the church always considered holy? The church is held to be holy because Jesus Christ, who alone with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is holy. He loved the church as his bride. The Catholic Catechism tells us he gave himself up for her so as to sanctify her and endow her with the gift of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. United with Christ, the church is sanctified by Christ. With him and through him, she becomes sanctifying. All the activities of the church are directed toward the sanctification of persons in Christ and the glorification of God. It is in the church that, by the grace of God, we acquire holiness. The church on earth already is endowed with real, though imperfect, sanctity. In her members, perfect holiness is yet to be acquired, though all members are called to perfect holiness. Charity is considered the soul of holiness. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, you know, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
I'll tell you, I must have just ranted a little bit too much there because nobody called. I mean, we do have a couple, but 877-573-7825. Now, if you have a question about the effect of all this, and it's personal, either in your life, your emotional well-being,
the well-being of those you love, the fact that your family is split apart. okay, call 877-573-7825. One other point. Reading an article, I get an awful lot of stuff on physical health, working out, well-being, nutrition, all that. I'm just fascinated by science and that kind of stuff. Reading an article in a fairly popular magazine talked about, what are you going to do over the holidays? And they said, are you ready? If you must hug your relatives, make sure it's real quick. Turn your face. Don't talk. You know, kind of like a Hollywood hug thing. And then ask them if they want to be hugged. Do you want to be hugged? Yeah. Then they were talking about all the proper ways to hug your relatives. Had a waitress today. I was out for breakfast and had a waitress tell me that while she was talking, her mask slipped down. And the lady that she was waiting on scolded her. You're breathing on me. Just like that. Just like that. She could have said, well, you don't have a mask on at all, so you're really breathing on me. Like, oh, man, what we've turned on each other. That's the other thing. It's ugly, just ugly, ugly. Oh, the ramifications are just massive. All right, a few people want to weigh in. Dennis from Georgia. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, doctor. How are you doing?
Okay, sir.
So, I'm 61 years old. And I have not worn a single mask since this whole thing started. When it first started, I said to myself, this sounds kind of fishy. So I then remembered what my mama always said. Never trust the government. And I've traveled Indiana, Illinois, Georgia, Florida. I've been thrown out of some really good truck stops, gas stations, restaurants, and some mediocre truck stop, gas stations, restaurants. And I still didn't wear the mask, and I'm not sick. So I agree with you that it is being blown out of proportion. And I'm so sorry to hear that so many people have not been coming out of the house.
Well, you know what it is, too, Dennis. It's not so much. I don't want people to mishear me. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. That's up to you. You want to protect yourself in any way you can. That is your business. The problem I have is this across-the-board mandate, which scares me. That's what it is. It scares me that the government can basically take away civil liberties, say you can't go to church, you all of these things, all in the name of an emergency, which really needs to be scrutinized. When was the last time you actually saw the media say the mortality rate is this? The death rate is this. No, all they say is, here's the cases. Here's the numbers. That's all they say. They do not put it in any kind of context. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it, buddy. Ken, we'll get back to you folks in a moment here. I'm looking at the clock here. I got about 40 seconds. Yeah, don't have enough time. A minute 10? Whoa, my clock is way off. Well, I just used up 10 seconds of it. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. I'm Italian. Italians get intense. My poor wife, when we first started dating and she came to Guarendi family gatherings, that poor girl, she was over in the corner, hunched down with a blanket over her because there were 27 Italian conversations going on at the same time and everybody was interrupting everybody and everybody talked loud like this. Now, she's right in there mixing it up. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray. Want to hear from you.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Christianity is under assault. All around us, we are witnessing the self-destruction of our culture and society.
If we do not examine the conscience, we will forget that it is there. The 20th century is commentary on how that has happened.
In A Crisis in Culture, How Secularism is Becoming a Religion, Father George Rutler looks at the many ways civilization has been ravaged by denying the relevance and very existence of the Creator.
Our society wants everybody to finish the race on their terms. But the race is God's race, and we can only finish it on His race. We are defining our own reality.
But there is hope if we turn our hearts to the Lamb of God. Discover how in A Crisis in Culture, How Secularism is Becoming a Religion by Father George Rutler. New from EWTN Publishing. Now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Here's the reality.
I don't know. Well, that's a reality I live in a lot. And I'm comfortable with that. I can go with ignorance. You know, they've said that the more you know about something, the more you know you don't know. That is true. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody who doesn't know much about a topic, they are so sure of what they do know. But I read a wonderful thing in a social commentary article that said, the more someone does not realize the limits of his knowledge, the more he is bound to be misled by what little knowledge he has. Got that? The more you don't recognize the limits of what you know, the more you're bound to be misled by what you do know. Ain't that the truth? Let me see. Let's go to Chris, Akron, Ohio. And Chris, my belief is that the media can decide in heavy order what we are to think about everything. And to now bypass the media and find information on your own that is reliable and fact-based is hard because the bulk of people just get sound bites. And the fact that you have people now in heavy numbers not willing to come out of the house yet, they don't come out of the house. Now, again, if you have compromised immune systems, if you're at high risk, if you have multiple COVID comorbid conditions, I got that. I understand it. But these are otherwise very healthy people, younger people, who have been convinced that it's out there waiting to kill you. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Dr. Ray, how are you?
Okay, sir.
So, here's my thought on this, and this may be something even Teresa Tomeo could talk to or come up with an idea, but I think as all of us Catholics need to have some kind of strategy in order to make known to the rest of the public, and most especially for that 50% of Catholics that will vote based on what the media says. We need to get the word out that the media is totally out to deceive us. I mean, it is absolutely, I've watched this for, ever since I started to put on my Catholic lens after I saw Passion of the Christ and stopped listening to the Fox and most especially the liberal media and all that, I've come to realize that the freedom of press is completely abused. And something needs to be done about it. I mean, really, we need to, you know, it used to be that.
Mike, I'm going to cut you off because I got a lot of people here. I'm going to cut you off. I will reiterate this. These are realities that we must understand and know. And to the degree that we know it, we can counter it. Many of the things, for example, that the media talks about with the Catholic Church is so far off, it's not even close. It's just nuts. Okay? So we know this. So I'm saying to the Catholics out there, if they can misrepresent your faith that badly, then they can misrepresent a lot of other things. Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you. I'm not going to go to Michael, but I'm going to respond to what he said. And this is the standard. This is the number one rationale. Wearing a mask is to protect others, not to protect yourself. Well, I would say this. If the mask is protection, it's going to go either way. It's going to go either way. So if you've got a mask on, you're protected. That's the first thing. Secondly, protect them from what? See, that's the point. Protect them from what? There's a lot of research that's saying that these masks are not neutral. They have problems, especially for people with asthma. People with low oxygen levels to begin with. Prolonged wearing of masks is not good. There's evidence that says this. A fabulous neurologist came out just recently and said this is a major problem. So that's the point. Not the idea that just this one size fits all. Okay, well, you're protecting everybody else. You're being selfish if you don't. All right, enough of that. Where are we at here? Dr. Abreu is a cardiologist from Texas. He made the observation on this program some months ago that he has noted a decline, a surprising decline in heart attacks coming into his attention. And his conclusion on that, because you always have to interpret the data, the conclusion on that is they're staying away. Hi, Dr. Abreu.
Thank you, Dr. Ray, for taking my call. And I want to tell you that you are a prophet. You are a prophet. I've been following
Wish I'd make. Hey, I'm working on Catholic radio. You don't make a prophet.
Well, I'll tell Al Cresta, he got to give you a bonus.
Jeez.
Number one, as a practicing cardiologist for 25 years here in Houston, Texas, I can tell you that what you are saying is absolutely right. You know, they tell you follow the science, but you're following only the epidemiological science, not the mental health science, not the internal medicine science. And I took your advice about 2 months ago, not giving the patients statistics. I told them three things. Number one, do not follow your emotions. Number two, follow reason. And number three, be willing to suffer. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to hang up because I've got to run to the hospital. Thank you for what you do. You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet. And God bless you, Dr. Ray.
Well, Dr. Braille, thank you. You said it just like I wrote it for you. I appreciate that. By the way, my boss, Tom Price over there at EWTN, when I said something to the effect that, here's what happened. Someone had said there were 1,000 books that kids should read. Was anybody aware of that? And I wrote to Tom and I said, yeah, I think they were talking about my books, reading them over and over and over again. And he said something about not asking for torture. And I said, hey, profit without honor. And then he said, profit and loss. Hey, I'm going to start charging EWTN by the word. That's it. That's the only way I'm going to get something here. Okay, where is this? Okay, good calls up there. I want to get to you. This person knows me, but doesn't want to say where he's from. Okay. And then more I learn, the more I get frustrated. The hospitals in my home state have barely any cases. And then a culture giving without expectation. Okay.
Oh, how much time I got, Andrew? About 30 seconds before the music starts. 30 seconds of music, 1 minute to break. 877-573-7825. Well, I'll tell you what, I know I'm going to get emails. I know it. I get more emails saying things like, you don't know what you're talking about, on this than any other topic. You would think, with the wide range of topics that come up on this program, you get people saying, you don't know what you're talking about, on all of them. Nuh-uh. This proves my point. The media will shape how you think if you simply just tune into the media and you don't dig in to what's going on with a little more depth yourself.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God. But I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have. And we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on and we got talking and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
You know, you wouldn't know it, especially given my intensity level. I truly am joyed at having this program. Truly! That's just part of the Italian thing, you know? 100%!
A lot like... I think Tommy's 100% too, I think. Although I do suspect she's got a little bit of a mutt in her. I don't know. Not sure about that. Anonymous caller. Doesn't want to say where he's from. Says he knows me. That's the thing I wouldn't want to say, that you know me. It says he. Okay, it says gentleman. Sir, you're on the air. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Recognizing your voice.
I wanted to let you know that, you know, I even though I realize these are rants, these are directed, focused rants because it's justified. I called a few months ago when the COVID thing was getting heated up. My dad, 93 years old, was a very social guy and isolated, had to eat in his room in his nursing home. Well, he passed on St. Faustine's feast day this past Monday. So, and I would attribute a good deal of it to the isolation that he had to endure through the COVID. So, anyway, I just thought I'd give you a follow-up on that and realize that this is not just, you know, having comorbid things, it's actually it's fatal. Can be, anyway. So, and I appreciate all that you're doing to inform all the people that are listening to your show. So,
all 182 of my listeners. About, I'd say about 3 months ago, sir, I came across an article in a pretty high-powered periodical where a guy had been studying social isolation for years and years. This is not something where somebody came out with their theories about social isolation. And what he found was, on all kinds of measures of physical well-being, social isolation is devastating to a person's health, particularly those vulnerable. So part of me wanted to say there has to be a way. Now, I know here in Ohio, our governor finally said with extreme precautions, people can visit their elderly parents in facilities. But in terms of what you say, I had a nurse friend come up to me. This was probably about 3 weeks ago. She works in a nursing facility, and she said, yes, we've had 17 patients die, and we think we just watched them deteriorate. They were in their rooms for months at a time with no contact other than somebody coming in, a nurse's aide with a mask, giving them their food. That was it. I guess part of me wants to say, where is civil liberties, individual choices? If someone says, I'm 84 years old, I want to see my son, he can say, hey, I'm going outside. You know, yeah, but you're going to put everybody else at risk. See, there's got to be ways to deal with this other than just that kind of crushing down social isolation. I know what you're saying, sir, and I've heard that one a million times. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Speaking of frustration, Joyce from Kansas says that she's getting frustrated because there's this stuff more and more is coming out. And it is. It trickles out very slowly, but it trickles out. What amazes me, though, is still the very high percentage of people that are living in wretched fear. Christians who just have, Sunday morning's kind of nice. I can stay in my robe and have my coffee, and that's cool. And she's getting very frustrated. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I have been following this quite a bit, and I have a largely anonymous contact that has informed me that our hospital in small town North Dakota that has something like 14, 15 beds has been mostly empty. And they've been transferring COVID patients out by helicopter. And now, this morning, CNN was reporting that there's only 20 beds available in the state of North Dakota. it floors me. But how are they? I mean, they're not taking into consideration the damage they're doing with this fear-mongering.
They don't care. They don't care. They know that, and again, it's hard to impute motives to people, but they know that the old, if it bleeds, it leads. And if you scare and if you whip up frustration and fear, people are going to pay attention. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, I was talking to my uncle just recently, and I said to him some of these survival rates, and he looked at me like I had five heads, and he said, I just thought if you get it, you die. And I said, Uncle, where did you get that idea? Well, that's kind of what it says and what I've been watching. I know. That's what's coming across. Interestingly enough, if you take, for example, now they're running the statistics, which I don't know if it's up around 10 million cases now in the U.S., something like that. They're running the statistics. If you take any given year and just simply pick an illness, pick the flu, and just report cases. You'll get millions. You just get millions.
Right.
And the question becomes, okay, what does that mean? You know, I already read the survival rates. They're very, very, very favorable. very favorable, especially, you know, the irony too, Joyce, and I don't want to get too much into this. The number one health risk in the United States now, you know what it is?
What, Ted?
Obesity.
Preaching the choir there, Doc.
One third of Americans are obese. Actually, no, that's wrong. Two-thirds are obese. One-third are extremely obese. And that's a serious health risk, tremendous health risk, okay? But yet we've come to live with that. We've come to accept that. That's the picture of our culture. But something like this, who kind of comes out of nowhere, gets a momentum back in the first few months, and understandably so, I'm not trivializing it, understandably so, just won't let go of its grip. I know. Oh, well. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the call. Well, appreciate it. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, honey. When we get back, I'm gonna take a question off the air because it touches on something that I think is a real social phenomenon in terms of interpersonal interaction. We got a few more minutes if you want to weigh in. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. That's the number to call to get onto the program so you and I can interface, but we can't do that. Inter-ear.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at solidarityhealthshare.org or at 844-313-4999.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. Some agnostics claim that if God exists, he's too distant to be involved in our lives. They say God may have created the universe, but such involvement was eons ago. Maybe he created the solar system, but then he fled, never to be seen or heard from again. Well, how long has it been since God made himself manifest in the world? Was it as long ago and as far away as some doubters claim? Or was it relatively recently that God showed up? The Christian incarnation claims God cares so much for us that he came in the form of a man, Jesus. He was born of a woman, lived, ate, slept as humans do for over 30 years, and was then killed to redeem us. That's hardly a distant, uninvolved God. Such is the evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Behind his influence on the politically powerful lurks a deadly agenda. His tactics in the name of social justice threaten the very core beliefs of the church. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
You know, the other thing I miss with this COVID thing, I used to be able to go entertain at nursing homes. I haven't been there for 8 months. I don't even know if the organ will even start. I don't even know if I remember some of the songs. Good to have you with me here. Take this question off the air, but it's an interesting question. Let me give a backdrop. In a couple of my books, Thinking Like Jesus and one I'm working on now, I talked about the law of social reciprocity. Now, it's not a law you're going to find anywhere, because that's what I called it. The law of social reciprocity says, if I give to you, if I treat you well, if I respect you, you will act so in return. Unfortunately, followers of Christ are not to live by the law of social reciprocity. We are supposed to do what is right and good and not expect in return. But again, what tends to happen is if we do that too many times in our opinion and somebody doesn't treat us like we treat them, because don't forget, we're called to a higher code of conduct. Got that? The more you follow Christ, the more your code of conduct is going to be different than what you get in return. You gotta, that's reality. So what tends to happen is you've got to remind yourself over and over that what you are doing, you're doing because it is good and right to do, and not because others will respond accordingly. If they do, it's a bonus. And you'd like them to. But to expect it is almost to demand it. And you are asking for frustration. The law of social reciprocity is not a good way to live. Because it says, it's kind of a perversion of the golden rule. It says, I will do unto you as I want you. Well, wait a minute. Let me rephrase this. That's not right. You will do unto me as I have done unto you. Well, that's the reverse of the golden rule. Golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But that doesn't mean they're going to do unto you. You'd like it. And you use that as a guide for your conduct, because I know how I would like to be treated, so therefore I'm going to treat you that way. But the implication, there's not a little asterisk there that says you don't have to treat them good if they're not going to reciprocate. Okay. Marcia is calling from New York. She's an RCIA right now. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for having me on.
You are more than welcome.
So I wanted to ask your take on this. I currently am in RCIA in Rockville Center. I'm very excited to become a 100% Catholic. I am currently a Lutheran and still attend the Lutheran service on Sundays. All the parishioners that attend got an email stating New York State has mandated that we need to now write down our name and address when we go to church service, just in case somebody gets COVID. New York State mandate.
Wow.
Called the Lutheran Synod of New York and left a message. They got actually back to me maybe 2 hours ago, and it was Bishop Eggenberg's secretary said, we're doing it so we don't get fined, and we're going to go according to New York State.
Wow.
Yeah, my parents, we like literally speechless when that first happened. And of course the answer, I'd like to know your take, because this is a slippery slope if you ask me, and I'm 38 years old. So I hopefully have a long life to live, and
Marcia, the chances of you dying of COVID are minuscule. Absolutely minuscule. I mean, they're like, so small. Given all that, the thing I think that is amazing, and I think a legitimate question can be asked, why didn't we do this months ago when it was at its peak? Now that it is fading, now that the New York Times is coming out and saying all kinds of experts are saying this pandemic is going to be over a lot sooner, why are we now putting our foot to the gas pedal even more so? Why have we now basically shut down schools or told everybody they have to wear masks constantly, whether you're 6 years old or whether you're 36? Why now? What is the point here? As the numbers are going down, and they are going down radically so from the beginning.
No, Dr. Ray, that is not true. Have you not read the statistics? 22 states now have higher numbers, and as a matter of fact, they are at the peak of their cases.
Once again, I'm going to respond to this. We're testing like crazy, and the cases are going up because it's a virus, and it is out there. The question is, how dangerous is it now, and for which populations and who? Marcia, I think somebody's probably going to take that to court. I know in Michigan, the Supreme Court basically told the governor that her dictates are arbitrary. Interestingly enough, Bill Barr said an interesting thing. Too interesting. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. That's interesting. Barr said, this is what has happened in our response to the COVID situation. In the assault on civil liberties has been the greatest assault
since slavery.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my, my, my. It'll be interesting to see what the parishes will do and what the Catholic bishops will do regarding this. I imagine they'll be forced. Otherwise, the club of you're going to get fined is always lurking. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Dr. Ray, this too shall pass. And I hope we go back to church. I know most of you listening probably are in church. Walk with God. I don't know if God will make you wash your hands. I don't know. But anyway.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.